Let's all stand for the reading of God's word. I'm going to be in the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 9. I'm going to use for a subject tonight, Actually, I'm not. But anyway, I want to make sure Judy heard that. But anyway, Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. And let me find it. You're probably already there. Verse 9. It's a wonderful thing to be able to work for God. It's a joy to come to church. It's a joy to sing and worship God. It's a joy to live for God. Even in a stormy world, it's a joy to live for God. When things get hard and it gets troublesome and there seems to be like Satan is coming at us on every angle, it gets tough sometimes. But the scripture says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I want to use for a subject tonight, let us not be weary. You may be seated. The Bible talks about the struggle of the flesh and the success of the spirit in verse 8. The Bible tells us that we're not to be weary in well-doing. Now, sometimes I get weary, but I never get weary of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Sometimes I get weary with the world. I get weary with sickness. I get weary with trouble. Sometimes I get weary with work and whatever is coming my way that begins to irritate me. Anybody ever had anything irritate you? Say, yeah, I'm looking at him. But anyway, sometimes I get weary along the way, but I never get weary of God's beautiful word. I never get weary of the power of Jesus Christ, the salvation that he bought for me on the cross of Calvary. I never get weary of hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, living for the Son of God. And the Bible says we're not to ever get weary because in our good doing, our well doing. We're not to be weary in well doing. And so I want to begin with the first little point that is very important. Don't tie up to the weary post and die. Don't tie up to the weary post and die. People get weary, they quit going to church. They get weary and they quit believing as God would want them to believe. People get weary, and because they're weary, they get sometimes in a place where they get away from the riches of God and the blessing of God. Sometimes you just have to count your losses and limp away. Let me say that again. Sometimes you just have to count your losses and limp away. But don't limp away from God, and don't limp away in defeat and discouragement. Limp away with God's blessing, knowing the battle is not over. Last night, we had a great service in Galena, Missouri. But I walked away limping because some certain things had happened and it caused me to limp a little bit. The live stream didn't cooperate. Some things didn't cooperate. And I walked away limping. But as I walked away limping, there was two souls redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, rescued from the fires of hell, saved by the power of God. Now, if I can walk away limping from a battle and got people saved and people's lives changed, I'm welcome to, you know, I'm okay with limping a little bit. Amen? I'm okay if my gospel feet get sore once in a while. Hello? Even though my feet are beautiful, as the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. Amen? I mean, come on, my feet are getting to be 70-year-old feet. And they're producing corn chips. You didn't want to hear that, did you? I heard some smart aleck said he could smell me from over there. But anyway. Sometimes it gets hard. And, you know, you go through things in life that tries to wear you down. The world is trying to wear us down. Satan's trying to wear out the saints. Everything we look at today is crumbling all around us. But thank God we're standing on the solid rock. Amen? By the way, it's hard to drown when you're standing on a solid rock. Amen? It's hard to sink when you're standing on a solid rock. Amen? And so when I think about not being weary, I have to think about Isaiah chapter 40. And I want you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40. And I'm going to begin reading with verse 26 through 31. And I want to use for a second point, let us wait on the Lord and be revived. Let us wait on the Lord. Let us sing unto the Lord. Let us pray unto the Lord. Let us trust in the Lord and be revived. Verse 26 of Isaiah 40. Lift up your eyes on high. Behold, who hath created these things? Sometimes you just need to go out and look up. Hello? Said, lift up your eyes on high. Behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their hosts by number? He's talking of the stars here in the planetary system. He calleth them all by name, by the greatness of his might. For he is strong in power, not one faileth. Isn't that beautiful? Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest thou, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord? My judgment is passed over from my God. Israel, see here, is saying God doesn't care. Israel is saying here, I'm not hearing from God. I feel abandoned from the Lord. I feel alone. And then it goes on to say, has thou not known? God, Isaiah is rebuking him. Has thou not known? Has thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord of the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is he weary. There is no searching for his understanding, of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall or fail. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and be not weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Amen. Let us wait on the Lord and renew our strength. Let us wait on the Lord and allow God to strengthen our heart. Let's not be weary in the work we're doing. Let's not be weary in this hectic world. Let's not be weary in this dark and stormy world. Let's not be weary in this sinful climate all around us. Let's not be weary in serving God. Let's not be weary in hearing from God. Israel says, I think God's abandoned me. God hadn't abandoned you. The stars would have to scatter and disappear in the heavens for God to abandon you. Look up and see the stars. God has named every star by its name, and God knows every one of us down here on this spinning planet by our name. He's an awesome God. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Wait on the Lord and be revived. The Bible says three things. If you wait on the Lord, you'll mount up with wings as an eagle. You shall run and be not weary. They shall walk and not faint. I thought of this verse as I was looking at it. And you know, I've been running for the Lord for the past 46 years. I've been running for many years for Christ. I've been walking for many long days. I've been, or had the joy of many times, mounting up with eagle's wings. Living for God is a strong, wonderful, powerful life. Trusting God brings joy to one's soul. Living for God. Now, the Bible says we'll run and not be weary. He's talking about a marathon here. He's talking about running for the rest of your life for Jesus Christ. And it's not the starting point that's the big deal. It's the goal at the end. The ending point is the big deal. As we break that ribbon of this world's wickedness and we bust into the place where Jesus says, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've honored me. You've trusted me. You've served me. And because of that, I'm going to give you a place in my presence." And I want to say today that we are running. Our race is not the same. My race isn't the same as Josh's. My race isn't the same as Don's. Oh, we're running to the same place. We're not running against each other. Even though I think I could outrun Don. But God hasn't called me to outrun Don. If I couldn't outrun Don, I'd be so embarrassed I'd trip him along the way so I could outrun Don. We're not in competition with each other. We're in our own little world with Jesus Christ. We're loving God, serving God. We're not running against each other. We're running together to where Christ is. We're running our race. Your race, your run, your race, your run may involve problems. Your race, your run may involve certain storms. Your race, your run may involve loneliness. Your race and your run may involve loved ones that died and went on to be with Christ. Your race, your run may involve financial reversals or hard times at work or loneliness or separation. Your run may be filled with disappointments. But let me tell you, friends, your run is not my run and my run is not your run. But we're all running to the same place. We're running to Jesus Christ. And the Bible says we're not to be weary in well-doing. The Bible says we'll run and not be weary. Amen? The Bible says that they shall walk and not faint. I used to think that's that's not really for me. Now that I've gotten older, that verse means more to me than the flying like an eagle. In fact, when I was young and first saved, I loved flying like an eagle. And got in my middle age, running. Now, I'll just walk. Steady walk for the Lord. Amen? My wife's telling me all the time, when you get up in the night, turn a light on. I never turn a light on. I get up in the night, and I just walk in the dark. Sometimes, it's a tragedy. Sometimes, I make noises that wake up my wife. Nothing hurts worse than springing your little toe on a table leg or stepping on one of the grandkids' Legos. Let go of my Lego. It's rough. But I've learned that walking is the most important thing. Being stable, being solid in the things of the Lord. I've enjoyed along the way flying like an eagle as a younger person. I've enjoyed great victories flying as an eagle. I've enjoyed running. But you know what? Just walking with Jesus is absolutely breathtaking. Enoch walked with God just before he was taken to heaven. And walking with God is an incredible blessing. I want to talk to you about Elijah getting old. You may be in this room right now and you feel like Well, I'm down to the walking stage. You may feel like I'm not a runner. I'm not a jumper. I'm not a flyer. I'm not a frequent flyer like some Christians claim to be as an eagle. Elijah, now I've had my experience as an eagle, the wings of an eagle up high. Elijah had his experience on Mount Carmel. The prophets being destroyed, God sending fire out of heaven, consuming the bullocks. Elijah saw incredible miracles as a young man. And I want you to know I've experienced those things. Not the same as Elijah, but I've experienced taking up wings of an eagle and flying. And sometimes you get to the place where you think, well, maybe I ought to just let the young folks take care of it. Maybe I'm done. No, you're not done. And I'll show you tonight that in Elijah's case, God will have a conference at Mount Horeb with Elijah. Now, he had a great victory with Elijah on Mount Carmel. From Jezreel to Horeb is 200 miles. And 200 miles to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God, God is going to have a conference with the aging Elijah. Elijah had had some problems after the destruction of Baal worship on Mount Carmel. How many know a woman named Jezebel decided she was going to take Elijah out? She declared that she was going to destroy Elijah. This is in the 19th chapter of 1 Kings. And Jezebel said, I'm going to get the head of Elijah. I'm going to destroy him. A lot of people make fun of Elijah, saying he's running from a woman. But I want you to understand that woman controlled the armies of Ahab. Notice in verse 3 of 1 Kings chapter 19, and when he saw, well, what did he see? He didn't see Jezebel. What did he see? He saw the armies coming after him. And he arose and went for his life, running from the armies of Jezebel. And he came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah. And he did the worst thing he could have done. He left his servant there. That was a mistake. Because your servant is there to encourage you. Your servant there is there to pray for you. Everybody thinks, well, the prophet prays for the servant. He does, but the servant prays for his one he's following, the prophet. And when Elijah left his servant there in Beersheba, when he left his servant there, it was a terrible, terrible mistake. And he goes a day's journey. Now, he's still running. Verse 3, he goes a day's journey. Actually, it's in verse 4. Himself, he went a day's journey into the wilderness. And he came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. That's right where God said, I'm not going to take away your life. I'm going to take you up in a whirlwind. You're not even going to die. I believe when Elijah said, God, kill me. Just take me now. God said, you're not going to tell me what to do. I'm going to take you up in a whirlwind. Hello? Now, if you ever want to die, it's because you're depressed or something's disappointed you. And Elijah was disappointed because he thought he didn't have the backup. Well, he did have a backup. He had a servant. Made a big mistake by leaving his servant in Beersheba. And he goes a day's journey in the wilderness. He's depressed. And while he's there under this great load of opposition, verse 5, he lays and he sleeps under a juniper tree. Behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake. We got cake in the back. Baked on coals. Now notice, Elijah is asleep. An angel has baked a cake on some hot burning coals. And at his head is a cruse of water. And the Bible says he did eat, and he laid down and slept again. I want to say to you today that old Elijah, even though he was asleep and he was discouraged, whose fire was that? Whose hot coals was that? It was Elijah's. He had hot coals before him. He went to sleep on his little bed of fallen leaves. And his little fire is burning down in the coals. And God sends an angel to bake him a cake. I want you to know that you've got a little fire in your life too. Even if you're old and you've been you're discouraged and you feel like God has quit using you and you're depressed, you've got a little fire burning. Jeremiah said, I was going to quit, give up, but there was a fire in my bones. I could not stay. And the angel came down and took the hot coals of Elijah and baked him a cake. Now I want you to know, if you don't think anything's happening in your life, you feel like God's abandoned you, you feel like you're not being used anymore, you got away from the things of God, maybe you're depressed and you don't feel the movement of God, I want you to know you still got a little fire. You still got a little fire. And God can bake you a cake. God can give you a sweet. Now their sweet's not our sweet. They didn't make Twinkies back then. But God can make you a sweet. A little honey. A little round piece of cake. And give you something sweet. And how many know old folks like sweet things? So does young folks. The sweet thing's what makes us old. Elijah's in years. I don't know exactly his age, but he's getting up in years. And God bakes him a cake. I want you to know God will take the fire that's in your heart and he'll give you something sweet out of it. Amen? When you're depressed, when you're laying on those fallen leaves of depression and you're asleep and you're discouraged, you don't feel like God's going to use you anymore, and you had your Mount Carmel experience, you had your great move of God, you've run and you're weary and you're tired and you're laying there on your fallen leaf bed and there you're asleep and God says, whoa, 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 you got a fire right here by you, and I'll cook you a cake and I'll feed you and I'll bless you and I'll sweeten your life up, and I'll give you a second chance. And so Elijah eats it, drinks the water, lays back down, gone, sleep again. That's why I know he was getting older. Hello. And so he lays back down, and the angel comes again. In verse 7, and the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, rise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat the drink, and he went in the strength of the meat for 40 days and 40 nights, and he ends up at a place called Horeb, the mountain of God. 200 miles from Beersheba, 200 miles to Horeb, the mountain of God. He runs 40 days and 40 nights, and the power of that meat, that bread, that water that God gave him. And he's going there to the mount, Elijah is. The angel said, the journey's too great for thee. Verse 7. The journey's too great for thee. You may feel like your journey's too great. You may feel like there's not much you can do anymore. You may feel like that you've about expended your expenses and your way. But the angel says the journey is too great for you. So I'm going to feed you. I'm going to water you. I'm going to give you a Holy Ghost B12 shot. I'm going to give you something good to eat, something sweet to eat. I'm going to give you a jug of water, a cruise of water. I'm going to give you a B12 Holy Ghost shot, and I'm going to give you a boot in the caboose on your way to Horeb. And trust me, there's been times I needed the boot. Amen. Is this helping some of you? God is sending Elijah to Horeb, the mountain of God. Why? Because God is going to have a conference with Elijah. And by the way, God wants to have a conference with you as well. And so Elijah goes into a cave. God moves and the wind blows, and the wind blows hard. The wind was so strong that it made rocks fall off the mountain. But God was not in the wind. God sent an earthquake, shook the ground, rattled everything. Trees probably collapsed and boulders come down off the mountain. An earthquake. But God was not in the earthquake. What's he doing? He's trying to get Elijah's attention. Then there's a fire. Consuming fire, raging fire. But God was not in the fire. And then God begins to whisper to Elijah, "You're not through. You've got things to do. I've got some things that I want you to do. Gird up your loins, stand up straight. I've got some things for you to do. I've got two kings I want you to anoint as kings. And I got a prophet, your replacement. I have two kings for you to anoint and a prophet for you to anoint." And so God tells Elijah, "I'm not through with you. You've got some things to do. You still got some work to do. You're not finished. You're not run out. You're not wore out." He says, "You have two kings to anoint. Ahaziel, king of Syria. Jehu, king of Israel. And I'm going to have you anoint Elisha, your replacement, as prophet." I want you to know, in my old age, and some of you are sitting there saying, "You're just a kid." I know. I can't help it that you're 90 years old. Don't mess with my preaching. I can't help it that you're 100. I'm older than you. Well, I'm glad you are, because I wouldn't want to be as old as you. I'm kidding. You're healthy. I love Dale's testimony when I see him. He said, "Well, God, give me another day." I love that, Dale. God gave me another day. And, you know, I'm praying that God will give me two more decades. Because like Elijah, I have someone that's going to follow behind me that I need to anoint. I have to have an Elisha that's going to do twice as much as I've ever done. I've got to anoint an Elisha. I've got to speak to some kings, some leaders. I think it's amazing that it says here in the scripture that Elijah would anoint in Damascus, verse 15 of this chapter 19. "And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on the way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Ahaziel to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Menshah, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And I want you to anoint Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel Mehoala. Wow, what a name. That must have been mama. But anyway, thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. Meaning, Elijah, you are going to be replaced, but not yet. Not yet. And I want you to know I'm not ready to go yet. Not yet. I still got some big people to talk to, you know, so-called kings. Still got some instruction to give people that think they're somebody. Amen? They're really nobody, but they think they're somebody. The upper crust, or just where a few crumbs get together on top. But I've got some leaders I want to speak to. I got some people that I want to direct. I want to anoint some people with the good truth of the Word of God, and I want to anoint a prophet to follow me, to go after me. This is a beautiful passage of Scripture. I love it so much. And I may know it took a while for Elijah to train Elisha. It took years. There's something interesting about Elisha. You know, you think of Elisha, he's the good guy. You know, he's 16, 20 miracles, twice the miracles of Elijah. You think of Elijah, oh, he's the bad guy. He burned everybody up. You know, Elijah, he called fire out of heaven. Well, I want to remind you, Elisha was pretty tough too. He burned companies of people with fire. But you think of Elisha, he's the good guy. You know, he's the sweet guy. But let me point something out to you in verse 17. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Ahaziel shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. You know, I really believe that pastoring sometimes can be nasty work. Now, I don't mean nasty with the sheep. I'm talking about nasty with the people that try to destroy the sheep. They need to be standing firm in the things of God, standing firm in the blessing of the Lord. And God had a conference with Elijah on Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. And he showed him, don't look at the earthquakes around you. Don't look at the wind blowing around you. Don't look at the storms. Don't look at the fire raging. Listen. Listen to me. Come down and listen to a still, small voice. I am not through with you, Elijah. I still have you to anoint two more kings. I still calling you to anoint another prophet that will go in your stead. You're not done yet. And I want you to know, no matter how old you are in this room, you're not done yet. You're not done till God says you're done. Amen. I thought of how God speaks to people and gives them a new direction. I think of Richard McMahon. I call him Lazarus. He earned that name. Richard's a good man. And the only reason Richard's still alive today is because God still has something for you to do. I sat with him and visited with him in my office a few minutes ago. What a sweet, gentle man. And I thought to myself, God is not through with this man. And God is not through with you. Don't hang it up. Don't tie it to the weary post and die. Don't be weary in well-doing. Wait on the Lord and be revived and have a conference with God. Listen to God. God has things for you to do. You know, everybody wants to be the big engine in the motor, in the automobile. Everybody wants to be the big engine in the Corvette. Pardon me, the Shelby Mustang. Everybody wants to be the big motor. Everybody wants to be the big wheel. But I'll remind you that Corvette is made of a bunch of little nuts. And it only takes one little nut to put that car out of business. Amen? So make sure your nuts tighten down. Make sure you're secure in Jesus Christ. Because God wants to have a conference with you on the mountain. And he wants you to go to that mountain, someplace alone with God. And say, here I am, God. I'm here not by accident. I'm still alive because you want me still alive. I'm still here for a purpose. Now, what do you want me to do? And listen to God's small, still voice. And don't rule out the little things, but don't rule out the big things either. Don't rule out the impossible, but don't rule out the possible as well. Do what God tells you to do, whether it's small or great, whether it's impossible or possible. Do what God's called you to do, because God has you on this planet for a reason. He's not through with you. Whether you're young, middle-aged, or old, God loves you. He cares about you, and you have purpose with God. Amen. So Elijah, now I really believe that God told Elijah, that's it. He's depressed, he's discouraged, he's talking like a crazy man. And I believe God kind of felt like, you know what, this poor guy, I'm just going to take him home. But I'm going to make him earn his living for a while. Several years between that to guide Elisha, several years to anoint the kings. So Elijah lived many years after that. He didn't die. He was caught up in a whirlwind. That's kind of what I'd like to do. Amen? I kind of like to serve the Lord for the next two decades, if the Lord willing, the church don't rise. And I want to do some things, anoint some kings and anoint a prophet. And I want to do some things and work for God and serve God in my latter years. I want to serve God. And then one day, I want to be able to say in my older age, maybe even now, the Lord could come right now while I'm talking. But in my much older years, if the Lord hasn't come, I'd like to be able to say to someone around me, it's getting windy. Gone to meet the Lord in the air. Amen? Someone said, well, Elijah went up in a chariot. Probably not. He was probably too stinking crippled to get up in the chariot. The chariot swooped down. Chariots of fire. Josh pointed this out to me. It wasn't the chariot that took Elijah out. It was the wind. The whirlwind took him out. You can read that for yourself. And if you don't think that's true, take it up with Josh. I'm repeating your associate pastor. Now, I don't mind repeating your associate pastor, but I try not to repeat Judy much. Nah. Hey, she's good at that. She's good at that. I can't hardly pronounce it, but she's going, nah. She's good at it. No. Well, that's not the right word to use while I'm preaching. That's a negative. Amen? So hear me. Don't lay down in the fallen leaves of your life and give up like Elijah. Let God bake you a sweet cake with the little fire you have in your heart. Amen? Just a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about your trouble. He will answer by and by. When you feel a little fire wheel burning, then you know a fire. You know it. prayer is churning. You know something's churning in your life. I don't know the song. I'd sing it to you, but the Lord makes sure I don't know them, so I can't. But just a little talk with Jesus makes things right. We have nothing to do greater than to spend time with God and let Him give us direction. And sometimes God will bring you into a place where you will sleep and you will rest. And sometimes sleep is the best thing for depression. Sometimes sleep is the best thing for grief. Sometimes sleep is the best thing for shock. Sleep is not a bad thing. But while you're sleeping, God's a-cooking. While you're sleeping, God's a-cooking. An angel will wake you up and say, hey, got a cruise of water there by your head. Excuse me, you got a cruise of Diet Coke by your head. Cruise of Diet Pepsi by your head and a moon pie. Not just a moon pie, not a vanilla moon pie, a banana moon pie. No, that's not true. Nah. No, it was a cruise of water, and it was a cake that made him something sweet. He said, eat that, and so he ate it. He said, that's pretty good stuff. Wiped his lips, and that's awesome. Lays back down in his bed, falling bed of leaves, and goes back to sleep. The angel comes back and says, okay, let's try this again. And this time he touches him, nudges him, touches him. Says, rise and eat. The journey's too great for you to travel. You must eat and get your strength. And rise and eat the meat and the water because the journey's too great. Why? God's going to move him from Jezreel, Beersheba. He's going to move him from there, from Judah, Beersheba. He's going to move him from there 200 miles to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. And then God's going to say, sit down, Elijah. Let me talk to you. And so God sends a wind, but God's not in it. God sends an earthquake, but God's not in it. Oh, he sends it, but he's not in it. He sends a fire, but God's not in it. He says, Elijah, stand up and get out of your hole you're in. You're acting like a gopher. Come out of that cave. You're acting like some kind of varmint. Stand on your feet and hear me. Old people tend to want to act like a hermit. Hello? If it wasn't for Judy, I'd stay home all the time. If it wasn't for Judy, I'd take my cell phone and throw it in the mill pond. I'd go home, recline back, and I'd do nothing. But Judy, my angel, says, you old lazy coot, get up. Well, she don't call me that, but anyway, she's effective. I said, well, I just want to lay here. I just want to relax. I just want to let other people do the work. I just want to take it easy. And she says, nah. And going on 49 years, she's been saying, nah. What a great wife. Amen. What a wonderful wife. I love her so much. She's a blessing to me. But I want you to know that God's not through with you or me. He just needs to have a conference with you. Isn't that good? And he's going to allow you to get some rest. He's going to allow you to recuperate. But then he's going to bring you to a conference. And God's going to say, look, this is what I want you to do. And when you do it, then your job will be done, and then I'll take you home. But not until you do anoint two kings and a prophet. And that's what I want to spend my life. That's what I want to spend the rest of my life doing, anointing two kings and a prophet. I'm going to spend the rest of my life doing that. Now, you take that in context. I don't mean literal kings. Like, take that in context. An anointed prophet. What a beautiful lesson God gives us in the scriptures. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up like wings of an eagle. They shall run and be not weary. They shall walk and not faint. Be not weary in well-doing. Well, if you'll hang on there, do what you're supposed to do in due season, you'll achieve what God's called you to do. Galatians 6, 9. Don't be weary. And I think we're approaching some years ahead that's going to try to bring weariness to us. But I'll never be weary of Jesus. I'll never be weary of His love, His mercy, His grace. And I'll never be weary of seeing lost people come to Jesus. I'll never be weary of seeing saints get happy, dance and praise the Lord and glorify God. I'll never get weary of exciting services. Amen? Now, sometimes I'll go home tired, but I'll never get weary of exciting services. Bless your heart, I've been in some services when I left, I'd barely making it home. And they danced all over the place. Back then when I was younger, I jumped and ran everywhere, did CPR on my associate pastor. You remember that? He remembers that. He hates me. It was a good illustration. I'd show you now, but I'm not up to it. He's just going to have to die if he needs it. But anyway, for those of you who don't know what I did, I drug him out of his chair, laid him out here in this. Chris. Which Chris are we talking about? Not you, but Chris. That associate pastor. Chris was my associate pastor for 10 years. Rick was my associate pastor for 10 years. How long have you been my associate pastor? Almost 10 years. All right. Man, 10, 10, 10. Anyway, I drug Chris in the right here in the middle in this aisle. Jumped on him. I was giving the illustration how the church needs CPR. Jumped on him, took my hands and pumped him on the chest. And he looks up at me like, what are you doing, you crazy idiot? But God bless you, I didn't give him mouth to mouth. Because I'm not stupid. And it would be nasty. And it's not necessary. Amen? If it was necessary, I'd get Julie to do it. But it's not necessary. Amen. Been having a good time. I hope you enjoyed yourself. How many ready for some cake and whatever? But well, maybe we ought to eat a cake the Lord has made us first. I want to get our singers to come. And I want to encourage you. If you feel like God's not using you, let Him have a conference with you. Let Him begin to show you what He'd like for you to do in the remainder years of your life. Maybe you'd like to have a vision, a guidance from the Lord. It's not like God's going to write it in the heavens for you. It's not like God's going to give a big dream or a big vision. He'll just speak to your heart and say, I'd like for you to do this for me. I want you to do this for me. And there's some things that I know God wants me to do for Him. If I told you some of the things I know God wants me to do for Him, you would probably leave our church. No, you wouldn't, because you want God to have His will, don't you? You want God to have His way. This church is a miracle. This church is a financial miracle. This church is an incredible miracle of God. And He wants so much more out of us. God wants so much more out of us. He wants us to do big things for Him. Impossible things for Him through His power. through his grace. Stand with me.